We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Monday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh Radio broadcast. My name's Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God. We're going to be spending the next half hour together this morning. We may be spending the half hour on your drive home. We might be spending the half hour on your way to work, or you might be listening at 10:30 of a morning on WWBC 1510 AM or one of the corresponding frequencies. And if so, we welcome you and thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening and allowing us to speak the word of God into your life today. We want to start off this week by saying thank you to Creative AC Solutions. 321-759-3284, Bill Andriak. He's been doing heating and refrigeration for a long, long time now. So he is very familiar with all sorts of systems, package units, outside units with air handlers, condensing units, I believe they're called, the new split systems, all of that sort of stuff. And so whatever you need, give him a call, 759-3284, if you're in the central part of Brevard County, and he will get you fixed up. I want to take this moment to invite you to a concert that is going to be taking place. Now, listen, it's not going to be at Merritt Assembly of God. It's going to be at Island Community Church, which is on North Banana River Drive, very close to the Triangle. It's just north of the Triangle there on the east side of the road, just south of Audubon Elementary. On April the 2nd, that's this coming Sunday night at 5 p.m., there's going to be a concert with a gentleman by the name of Stan Schumann. He's a member of the group called Midnight Cry, and so we want to encourage you to come and be a part of that 5 p.m. If you have any information, give the church a call, Island Community Church. Unfortunately, I don't have a phone number for them. I'll try and get that for you sometime this week. But if you have any questions, you can give them a call. 5 o'clock of an evening, it's still going to be daylight. It'll be daylight when you get there, daylight when you get done, because daylight savings time has kicked in. And so come and enjoy this music ministry at Island Community Church Sunday night, 5 p.m., and you'll be glad that you did. We're going to continue our look at Isaiah chapter 61, which we began last week. Verse number 1 says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound." And so we're looking at what the scripture indicates. What does life look like when the Spirit of the Lord is upon you? And one of the things that we have been talking about is it's not just all about manifestations. It's not all about gifts. It's about fruit. It's about gifts. And it is about what the Spirit of the Lord is going to do for us, through us, and on our behalf. And so we have been going through the scriptures looking at what does life look like with the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And I believe that the Spirit of the Lord, God said he would pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. That includes me, that includes you. So I believe that we should welcome the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and we should choose to live our life in such a manner that he will be glorified. In Acts chapter 6 today is where we're going to begin looking at this truth. So Acts chapter 6, there's a couple of really powerful truths in Acts chapter 6, another in chapter 7. But let me begin reading today in verse number 1. We're going to read the first 5 verses. "Now, in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists, because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip and Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they prayed, they laid hands on them. Okay, so that went all the way through verse 6. One of the things that I want to share with you is when the ministry of the church was growing and it was expanding, it expanded at such a rate that the disciples could not do everything themselves. It's great liberating element when you realize that you are not called to do everything by yourself, that you are a member of a body, that we are supposed to function together as a united body to take the gospel to our community and to the ends of the world. But what happened was it grew faster than the church's infrastructure did. And as a result of that, there were some people who were being neglected, and they said, "We're going to need some people who can serve in this area to make sure that we do not get distracted from the main thing that we are called to do." You know, you do have to remember to keep the main thing, as Peter Lord says. You've got to keep your priorities. But there is a place for service for everybody, and that's what I wanted to share with you. The Holy Spirit came upon these men, and they were men from the segment of the church that was being neglected. The Holy Spirit came upon them so that they could serve to enable the disciples, the apostles at that point in time, to remain focused on prayer and the ministry of the word. I can tell you right now that there is a lot more on your pastor's plate than prayer in the ministry of the word. There's a lot more on that. I teach what is known as our district school of ministry. I teach church history and polity. And one of the things that we discuss is the expectations that people tend to have of their pastors. And there's a long list that we discuss, and the list is too short. I will tell you that right now. I know from experience that there are a lot more things on that list than what they delineate in that study guide. And so we kind of have a chuckle about it and all of that sort of stuff. But the reality is we end up suffering in the ministry whenever we get so deluded by all of the distractions that we can't devote ourselves to the primary mission that we have for the pastor. That is the ministry of the word, prayer, and the equipping of the saints. Those three things are the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. Those three things ought to be, you know, the thing that consumes most of our time. But in actuality, there are so many other distractions, because every church I've ever known has a shortage of people serving. The Holy Spirit wants to come upon you, to come upon us, to equip us to serve in a certain capacity. My wife and I, we have this mindset that we try and work ourselves out of jobs. Whenever something God lays upon our heart, we start it, but we want to get it to a place where someone else can take it and run with it and take it to even greater heights. I believe that there are people who are gifted. These people were going to be serving in the distribution of food, and they said, "You know what? We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. If you are going to be encountering people at the point of their greatest need, where they need daily food, don't you think that the Spirit of the Lord God being upon you, so that you can have the discernment and the perception from heaven to know what their other needs are?" I mean, it's very, very important. As a result of them empowering these servants of God, these deacons, you know, a lot of times in the modern church, the word deacon is just referred to in a political sense. It really means servant. Minister means servant. I had a person that came up to me one time and they introduced themselves with a title, and I just in my head I said, okay, so you're a servant. And so if I introduced myself to you today, I could say, hi, this is Servant Bob. But you know what? I don't do that. My name is Bob. The role I have at Merit Assembly of God is pastor, which means shepherd. And, but everything is about serving. So whatever you do, I believe that you will do it in the church. Whatever you do in the church, I believe that you will do it better when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you than you will if you're just trying to do it in your own flesh. I believe that the kingdom will grow as you serve under the power of the Holy Spirit more than it would happen if you were just serving in your own strength and in your own power. So I want to encourage you today, whatever role of service you have, that you pray that the Holy Spirit comes upon you so that you would be able to serve better. If you currently are not serving in a church, I pray that the Holy Spirit comes upon you and will begin to birth a desire inside of you to serve the local body in such a way that people's needs are being met and the other people who are serving, that their load is lightened. Okay? Acts chapter 7 is a wonderful chapter. One of these men who was selected goes out and he begins to preach the gospel. And as he was preaching the gospel, they put him on trial. His name was Stephen. And so he's the first one mentioned in Acts chapter 6. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. And so in Acts chapter 7, he's preaching the gospel, and they don't like it. They don't like what he is saying. And as a result of that, they begin to stone him. In verse number 54, it says, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. They gnashed at him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and said, look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran at him with one accord, and they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Listen to what it says as he is being stoned. He's in the last moments of his life. And it says, but he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. So I believe that we need to be filled with the Spirit of God. We need the Spirit of the Lord upon us, not just when we begin our journey, not just when we end our journey, but every step along the process, everything in between, that from the moment we begin our relationship with Jesus till our last breath on this earth, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And as a result of this attitude that Stephen had, he had revealed to him heavenly realities and insight that those who were standing there, who were stoning him to death, they could not see. And when he began to share with them what he was seeing taking place in the heavenlies, they had all they could stand, and they began to stone him and gnash at him with his teeth. So how close are you to the end of your journey? You know, you're closer now than you've ever been. And I think that it is time for us to eliminate procrastinating and begin to make the Spirit of God a priority in our life so that we can proclaim the gospel to those that God wants us to. In Acts chapter 9, just a couple of chapters over, we find that Saul is converted. And in verse number 31, then the churches throughout all Galilee, or all Judea, Galilee and Samaria had peace and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. One of the names that Jesus gave the Holy Spirit was the Comforter. One of the things that happens when the Holy Spirit is moving sovereignly in our life and the Spirit of the Lord is upon us is that there is going to be comfort that comes your way. It may be, you know, comfort because you're going through a difficult season, maybe comfort because you just came through a difficult season. It may be a season of refreshing. It may be a season where you have just come over or come victoriously through a time of sickness or a financial challenge or a relationship challenge. But I want you to know that the Holy Spirit, when he comes upon you, he's not coming upon you to make your life more miserable. He comes upon you to bring comfort, the paraclete, the one who is called alongside to help. So you need the Holy Spirit. You need the paraclete. You need this one who's called alongside to help. Very rarely do I ever come to the place where I said, you know what? I just don't want any help right now. I have pastored Merit Assembly of God for 24 and a half years. And there are some things that I'm asking God for. And I know this, that as much of a blessing as men and women and co-laborers, just like we talked about in Acts chapter 6, I know that there's no one who is going to be able to give as much comfort, as much assistance, as much help as the Holy Spirit can. The Holy Spirit can do more through us in a short period of time than you could accomplish or I could accomplish in a lifetime. We need the comfort of the Holy Spirit. If you are ministering and you are ministering not from a place of supernatural abundance and strength, but instead of burden, I want you to know that God, the Holy Spirit, wants to come and bring you comfort. And it says the church was multiplied. It wasn't just being added to. The church was multiplying. Wouldn't that be awesome? How do you realize that if people across this county, if all of a sudden a revival was poured out, that there, with all of the churches that we have, there would not be enough room to contain everybody if there was a countywide revival that takes place? We need the Spirit of God. We need to be walking in the reverence of God. One thing I want to say is there's a lot of characteristics that go with just the Spirit of the Lord being upon us. And one of those aspects is mentioned here, and they were walking in the fear of the Lord. They were going on a journey on a regular basis in reverence of God. They fully understood that they were serving and they were having fellowship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Almighty God. They were aware of that. They were seeing signs and wonders. They were seeing persecutors becoming believers. We want to see that sort of thing take place in Brevard County, don't we? We need the Spirit of the Lord to come upon us. Acts chapter 10, there's another sermon that is being preached, and Peter is preaching in the house of Cornelius, and he says in verse number 34, then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Listen to what it says. It says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit. That's what we've been talking about in Isaiah chapter 61. It was fulfilled in Luke chapter 4. And he goes on and he says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. So once again, we see that when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, the Spirit of the Lord is upon us, we are empowered. We are not hindered. We are actually equipped. We are empowered by God to do great and mighty things. Specifically, he said, who went about doing good. There are a lot of people who think that there's just no hope for them, that they're so bad, so wicked, so evil. I want you to know that's not the reality at all. In fact, I was talking with a pastor here not too long ago. It wasn't just a one-on-one conversation. There was about five of us at the table at the time, five or six, and someone asked this pastor a question, and he said, well, what I'm going to need is I'm going to need more people from the prison to get saved. That was his answer, is I'm going to need more people to get saved who've hit a season of their life where they were on the wrong path, and I'm going to need them to be on the right path where they're going to give their heart to Jesus. They're going to be empowered to do good instead of to do evil. I worked for a pastor in Texas, and he wanted to put this up on the church sign, and that was, what this church needs is a few more good sinners. You see, when people come into the church, if they're looking for an excuse, what they will say oftentimes is that the church is full of hypocrites. And I want you to know, there may be from time to time some hypocrisy in the church, but most of the people in the churches that I've known really do have a heart to do good. We had our kids' convention here a couple of weeks ago, and I tell you, we've just got some fabulous, fabulous saints at Merit Assembly of God. People that there wasn't much in that kids' rally for them at all. They're part of our adult team, and yet they came out every night and supported the kids and helped out wherever needed to be helped. I mean, you know, when there's dozens of kids running around, there's always going to be a spill to clean up and other messes to clean up and all that sort of stuff. And they just were there and they served. They were empowered to do good. But that wasn't all Jesus did. Jesus just didn't do good works. It also said that he went about healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. So if God was with him and he was empowered to do good and he went about healing all who were oppressed by the devil, and we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ, and Peter had just said, I now see that God shows no partiality, he's no respecter of persons, then we should have the same expectation that when the Spirit of the Lord God is upon us, that the power of oppression is going to be broken, that those people who are broken and wounded and sick and infirmed, that they will be healed. And so today, you know, and I know it's Monday, and I know a lot of times people are not looking forward to Monday because that means that Friday is so far away. But what if we set out with a new agenda this week? Our agenda wasn't just to get through the work week. It wasn't just to put in our time. But instead, it was to see healing come to those who are oppressed by the devil. Let me ask you a question. If you were being oppressed by the devil, wouldn't you want the Spirit of God to come and relieve that? Wouldn't you want him to come and defeat the enemy on your behalf? What about if it was your spouse that was being oppressed? What would your actions look like when you were so desperate? If not for a spouse, what about a child? How intentional would you be? How driven would you be? Well, let me tell you, we need to be moved with compassion the same way that Jesus was moved with compassion. We need to be moved with compassion because the devil didn't stop working when Jesus was ascended to the right hand of the Father. The devil didn't stop oppressing people when the apostles died. People are still being attacked and oppressed, and they need the body of Christ to be able to say, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, and he is empowering me to do good, to do what is right, to show his love, and to heal all those who are oppressed. Let me read it again. And healing all who were oppressed by the devil. That's what it said there about Jesus, that everybody that he encountered that was oppressed by the devil, that he healed them. He made them whole. And if he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, how much are we missing out on if we deny ourselves the reality that God wants to pour out his Holy Spirit upon us so that others can be healed and set free? And as long as there's one more, there's still a need. There's still a need. I remember the Imperials singing a song way back in the 80s that said, "One More Song for You." And it talked, as long as there was one more person in need, they'd be ready to sing one more song for him. And so I want to encourage you today, if you see somebody broken and wounded and oppressed by the devil, that's your clue. That's your indicator that we still need the power of God. We need the Spirit of the Lord God to be upon us. We really, really do. Amen. So I'm going to pray for you today. I want to remind you one more time, if you need help with your AC system before the heat of summer kicks in, give Bill Andriac a call, 321-759-3284. Don't forget the concert at Island Community coming up Sunday afternoon, 5 p.m. with Stan Schumann from Midnight Cry. And let's pray right now. Father, I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that you would pour out your Holy Spirit upon the saints here in Brevard County. God, that we would be empowered to serve, that you would give us such a drive, such a power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, that we will not only begin our journey with the Spirit of the Lord God upon us, but we will finish it just like Stephen did, and we will see heavenly realities. God, may you use us for your glory. See you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
Lord, I wish I could praise you with adequate words, but you leave me speechless. And I so long to sing you the song you deserve, but it would be endless. I long to move your heart I bring you something new. I tell how great you are. I tell my praise to you.